Hello, respected viewers. Here I am at Payne's Hill. This is the Temple of Bacchus, and they finished this one in 1762. So it's neoclassical, a faux Grecian temple. Now, are those Corinthian columns? Does it have the Greek ratio, the idea of beauty, the golden mean, 3 to 8, as in 8 units wide, 3 high? I'm not sure. Looks about right. So the owner of this estate, Charles Hamilton, he'd been on the grand tour, like a lot of upper class boys at the time, to France, particularly Paris, possibly the Rhine Valley in Germany, right down to the Mediterranean coast of France, over the Alps into Italy. Rome was a real highlight, looking at ancient Roman monuments, practicing their French and Italian. You had to speak the foreign language. Nobody spoke English in those days. Other things is going with the tutor, quite possibly. So this is the late 18th century, up into the Napoleonic Wars. The Milordi went. So boys in their late teens, girls never went, is often before university. So from the age of 16 to perhaps 19. And it took several months. This is before trains of the steamship, horse-drawn coach, and obviously the power of wind power when they were sailing. Then possibly sail across to Greece, then Ottoman territory. If they were very venturesome, go to Constantinople, that's Istanbul, possibly the Holy Land, as in Palestine and Israel. So it's a very wealthy Scots aristocratic family. So Hamilton built this. It meant to be the Temple of Bacchus, as in the ancient Greek god of wine. And Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, visited it and waxed poetical about it. But anyway, this was in a dilapidated state by the 1980s. And a trust raised money here at Payne's Hill to restore it to its erstwhile splendor. However, you see here, these are not original. He bought a lot of statues, which they don't have. I don't know if they sold them off or they nicked. And then they just got these photos to represent what were in the niches here. And that bloke, well, something very nasty has happened to him. He's not having too much fun. Okay, and then up here, so more female nudes. And is this Hermes, the messenger of the gods? Okay, with the winged helmet and the wings on his heels, where he can go exceedingly fast. And then we go inside here. What was the purpose of it? Was it just to admire the artwork? So he had this collection of ancient Roman emperors' heads. Got things that, the statue of Apollo Belvedere, and Venue de Medici. Then we saw Mercury outside, who's very mercurial, Venue Marina, and so forth. Okay, so rebuilt after 1981 when they established the Payne's Hill Trust. And then you can also see the ceiling above. So look, they've got this gravel floor, and I can't tell which Roman emperor's which. So it's a time of, it looks like looks like Augustus. It was a time where obviously neoclassicism was at its height. There was all this atavism hailing back to that as the pinnacle of civilization. And then the British Empire was rising to its zenith, Pax Britannia. They had to study Pax Romana. And in elite education, Latin and ancient Greek were the core of the curriculum. So not just learning about ancient Greece and ancient Rome, but into the Middle Ages, a lot of works of philosophy were in Latin. And in university, there were only 4 universities in England back then. We had only 1 in Ireland, Trinity College Dublin. But all the lectures and the books were all in Latin, not just if you're studying classics, but to read philosophy or medicine or biology or law or anything. That was the international academic language, because in the Euro-Atlantic world, that was it, a bit like English, the international academic language these days. So they could get a professor from Poland or America or Brazil or Croatia, didn't matter. And he, and it always was a he, would speak Latin. It's only the 18th century they began. Sorry, in early the 19th century they began to transition into English. So there we go. Now, I don't know my columns, but methinks these are Corinthian, because they're Doric, Ionic, Tuscan, and so forth, and composite, a blend of the others. So they restored the view, because by 1981, it had completely grown wild here. They had to pare back the woods, they had to mow the lawn, and so forth. And then it commands this splendid vista over the wilderness. And we're quite a few miles from London. So that was it. And obviously, the ancient Romans came here. Julius Caesar, the Roman Geezer, who in his Gallic Wars talks about his 2 summer campaigning seasons in Britannia, in this island which he didn't consider it worth subjugating before returning to Gaul, as in France. And 98 years later, the Romans came back and conquered it. And then one of them assumed the title Britannicus, as he conquered Britannia, what's now England and Wales, the southern bit of Scotland. Obviously, Wales, England, Scotland, they hadn't achieved reification their quiddity came much later. All right, so that is this fascinating feature, this fake Greek temple, Grecian temple. Should I say Roman temple? Well, Bacchus was a Greek god, and obviously the Romans, they learnt a lot from the Greeks. Even though they conquered them, they looked up to them as the senior civilization, often learning Greek in school. Look at all the molehills. Right, that's enough for me. Warmly recommended. There's something to be said for coming when it's pissing rain. Like Sir Ivor Novello said, there's a dark cloud, there's a silver lining through the dark cloud shining. Though the weather is ghastly, that means it keeps the crowds away. Got the place to myself. And so it gives me that feeling of uniqueness, of exclusivity, of opulence, which I wouldn't have if the madding crowd was here. All right, I'll switch it off now. Thank you for watching my channel, and toodle pip.